is Vice Chair Liz Olson, and pursuant to House Rule 10.01, I call this remote meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Present.
Moran, present. Vice Chair Olson?
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Garofalo, excused. Representative Albright?
Present.
Albright, present. Representative Becker Finn?
Present.
Becker Finn, present. Representative Bernardi?
Present.
Bernardi, present. Representative Eklund? Representative Eklund? Representative Hansen?
Hansen, present.
Hansen, present. Representative Hassan? Representative Hassan? Representative Hertas? Representative Hertas? Representative Hornstein, excused.
Hertas
present. Representative Johnson?
Present.
Johnson, present. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, present.
Kreisha, present. Representative Liebling?
Present.
Liebling, present. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, present.
Lilly, present. Representative Mariani? Representative Mariani? Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, present.
Marquardt, present. Representative Miller?
Miller, present.
Miller, present. Representative Nash?
Nash, present.
Nash, present. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, present.
Nelson, present. Representative Noor?
Noor, present.
Noor, present. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, present.
O'Neill, present. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, present.
Pawlowski, present. Representative Petersburg?
Present.
Petersburg, present. Representative Pinto?
Present.
Pinto, present. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, present.
Schumacher, present. Representative Schultz?
Present.
Schultz, present. Representative Scott?
Present.
Scott, present. Representative Sundin? Representative Sundin? Representative Eklund?
Present.
Eklund, present. Representative Hassan? Representative Mariani? Representative Sundin? That concludes the roll. There is a quorum present.
There is a quorum present. The next item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes from the hearing on Tuesday, March 23rd. The minutes were included in your packet. Are there any questions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, would someone make a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Liebling moves the approval of the minutes from March 23rd, 2021. Please unmute yourself briefly for a voice vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. So members, our only agenda item for this evening is to amend the House budget resolution. I will move resolution titled Bud Res 01 back in front of the committee. Chair Moran, would you like to offer your amendment to the resolution and provide a description for the committee?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So you can go ahead and move the A6 amendment and to the amendment you can present, Chair Moran.
But thank you, Madam Chair. I will move adoption of the A6 amendment to the 2021 House Budget Resolution. This amendment makes a few changes and clarification based on the work that our committee have done in assembling their budget over the last 2 weeks. First, it adjusts a few targets to accounts for bills that have costs in multiple jurisdictions, including salary increases for certain law enforcement officials and emergency paid leave for essential workers. Now that we have determined which bills will carry the cost for these proposals, we have increased those committee targets accordingly, and the increases are offset with reductions to the other bills, target, as well as the bottom line balance. Those changes amounts to an additional $28.6 million in net spending from the general fund for fiscal years 22 and 23. Second, the amendment clarifies that the spending limits currently in the resolution for the Coronavirus Relief Fund and the American Rescue Plan applies to fiscal year 2021, as well as the next budget cycle. It also clarifies that the spending limit on federal dollars applies to the entire American Rescue Plan Act, with an exception for child care block grant spending that is currently in Chair Pinto's early childhood bill, which he can provide and will openly and willingly provide additional information about that if members have questions. Third, the amendment increases allowed spending from the Coronavirus Relief Fund for the Health and Human Service Committee to match a balance increase in that fund, which was recently reported by MMB. Fourth, it sets spending limits for the Healthcare Access Fund, which are zero for all committees except for higher education, state government, and health and human service. And finally, the amendment clarifies that the budget resolution does not permit any so-called contingency spending. As I stated in our last hearing, it is my strong belief that the House budget needs to be fully backed by our current revenue and not the conditional ones. Proposals that try to preemptively reallocate money if it is replaced by federal dollars will create uncertainty about which part of our finance bills will ultimately be funded and which will cause it to fall through the cracks, quite frankly. Our state deserves a budget that is based on hard numbers, not hypotheticals. So until we have more clear guidance on how to spend dollars from the American Rescue Plan Act, this is the most responsible path forward. So, Madam Chair, that is the amendment. Staff has also prepared an updated spreadsheet that shows how this amendment will impact committee targets and total general fund spending. And so I will ask that Mr. Marks briefly walk through that spreadsheet for committee, and then I will stand for questions.
Thank you, Chair Moran. Mr. Marks, to the spreadsheet.
Madam Chair and members, I believe you have a spreadsheet labeled budget targets, and then it's with the proposed April 6th A6 amendment. This is similar to what we had on March 23rd when we initially adopted the budget resolution, except I've added a couple columns to it. So the first column of numbers is the February base. There's no changes there. Then there's the resolution as adopted on March 23rd. Then there are the numbers as proposed today. And then the next column, or the second from the right column, shows the changes in the numbers as proposed today from what was adopted on March 23rd. And then the final column is just is a calculation. It's the proposed number for today minus the base number. So the changes as you go down that next to the column second from the right, in commerce, it's adding $355,000. In environment and natural resources, $686,000. In health and human services, $23,510,000. In judiciary, $2,233,000. In labor industry, veterans and military affairs, $699,000. In public safety, $7,152,000. And then as you get down to the bottom, the other bills category has been reduced by $5.946 million. And then the bottom line, the total net spending has increased by $28,689,000. And that basically comes off the bottom line. And if you look at the bottom row, then the end of biennium balance would be $30,590,000, which is $28,689,000 lower than the previous bottom line balance had been.
Thank you, Mr.
Madam Chair, I can take any questions if there are any.
Great, thank you, Mr. Marks. Questions for Chair Moran or to Mr. Marks? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Marks, can you tell us what the $5.9 million reduction in the other category is? What is that?
Mr. Marks.
Madam Chair and Representative O'Neill, there was $10 million set aside for other bills. We didn't have a specific amount of or a specific number of other bills or so on, but as Chair Moran had stated, some of those other bills are now ending up in various committee targets and that might have been funded out of this, such as she had mentioned, the law enforcement salary increase, the COVID emergency leave bill, and then there's also the law enforcement officers is House File 401, the emergency leave is House File 41, and then there's also meatpacker safety, that is House File 800. Those items have been added to the various bills that you see or here are those numbers. So some of this was taken from the other bills category, but there wasn't a number or a specific set of bills that made up the 10 million. The 10 million was kind of an arbitrary figure. And so at this point, 5.946 million is taken from that and the rest is taken off the bottom line.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have just one question to the author of the amendment. Chair Moran, I'm just wondering if we are not going to supplant money from the federal package coming through, and yet, if I recall correctly, $107 million was already passed off of our floor with that language in it for schools, for summer schools. How does this amendment, if we pass it, affect that funding of $107 million for summer schools?
Chair Moran.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that is my belief when you have money like with the summer school, along with the money that we're seeing that we're going to be spending for early childhood, those are dollars that really does not need the any approval from the LAC. So those are dollars that can be spent. And so along with that, those dollars, and as you will see with the early childhood dollars, is there's no impact on those federal dollars that we do not have any guidance on how to spend them. So those are like those exceptions.
Mr. Marks.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Neill, yes, the summer programs, the language in House File 1064, the summer programs bill was a if statement. It was if the commissioner of MMB determines those appropriations are eligible, and we don't know that they're eligible yet. So at this point, we are counting that all as general fund spending, and that $107 million is still is calculated into this spending amount as general fund spending. So the assumption at this point is zero spending from the American Rescue Plan for the summer programs, because while we think it may be eligible, we don't know yet because we don't know the criteria.
Representative O'Neill.
Madam Chair. Well, Chair Moran, I'm just wondering, since we already passed that with the if statement, then if we pass this amendment to the resolution, then how does that affect a bill that we've already passed? Then does that nullify the if, so then there is no possibility going forward to supplant the federal funds with the general fund dollars?
I'm going to pass that over to Mr. Marks.
Mr. Marks.
Madam Chair and Representative O'Neill, the budget resolution will not supersede the law. If House File 1064 is enacted, that is overriding. So the budget resolution is a limiting factor or a resolution on bills as they move through the House. It would not affect a bill that gets enacted.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. And so, say if the Senate passed something and sent it to us and we concurred with it, and it had the if language in it, so if federal money can be used for it, it can be, it could supplant the general fund dollars, then you're saying this budget resolution, we wouldn't be tied to this budget resolution here in the House? Is that what you're also saying? I think you had said that in the past, Mr. Marks.
Mr. Marks.
Madam Chair and Representative O'Neill, that's correct. The budget resolution limits bills as they move through the House process. It does not limit them if it was a bill coming back from the Senate for concurrence or if it is a conference committee report.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just think that this is a silly resolution to limit ourselves that we've, I mean, obviously we already thought this was a good idea because we've already passed this bill off the House floor. So now to come back and say, well, we're not going to even consider that, this just seems silly to me. I don't know why we're doing this today.
Mm. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Marks, on the spreadsheet that we just covered, I just want to confirm that the spreadsheet does not reflect any changes in revenues that might be proposed in the Tax Committee.
Mr. Marks.
Madam Chair and Representative Albright, it reflects no change in the total revenue. There is one change on there. Back on March 23rd, the House was recognizing that tobacco settlement revenue, that the 101 million, I don't remember, 100, something in that neighborhood. Since MMB reissued a budget forecast that incorporated that money, I've taken that line off and it is built into the total revenue, but it doesn't change the total because the House numbers on March 23rd already recognized that. That's the only change in the revenues, and it's not a change in the number, it's a change in how it's categorized.
Representative Albright.
Mr. Marks, thank you for that. Under your total spending line item, the change from 328 million and change, I just want to confirm the source of that money.
Representative, Mr. Marks here, or Mr. Marks?
Madam Chair, Representative Albright, I didn't hear all of that question. I'm sorry.
My apologies. Your total net spending change, second column from the right, 28 million. Would you confirm the source for that additional funding?
Mr. Marks.
Madam Chair and Representative Albright, the other change that goes along with that, the bottom line balance had been $59,279,000. That drops to $30,590,000. So the $28,689,000 is basically taking some money off the bottom that had been on the bottom line or in the projected ending balance and spending it.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Marks, so then if you will, balancing out the checkbook, if you will, for the state, then we're left with a balance of about $30 million.
Mr. Marks.
Madam Chair and Representative Albright, correct.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I'm wondering if Representative Pinto would answer a question.
Yep, you can go for it, Representative Albright.
Thank you. Representative Pinto, I'm looking at the A6 amendment, and I see an inordinately outsized large increase in developmental block grants, as well as child care stabilization fund from what was heard in your committee. Could you just explain for the committee in terms of upon what premise that those two line items are added into the A6?
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Albright. And I'm not quite sure what you're referring to, Representative Albright, in terms of not being heard in the committee. So these federal funds, of course, became law relatively recently. We had a hearing on March 24th in our committee, which we had an examination of what the funds consist of and what the guidance is, et cetera, et cetera. And then, in fact, had a hearing just this morning that reviewed and walked through the budget bill that did include proposed allocation for those funds. So, but I may be misunderstanding your question, Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Pinto. What I'm going to is that what was proposed in your committee prior to receiving guidance under the ARP law.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Albright. So in the final couple weeks before we received the budget target, we heard a series of proposals from that identified the need in the area. We know that for early care and learning for our youngest and most vulnerable Minnesotans, and really the very youngest in terms of infants and toddlers, and then below 185% of poverty, is close to about $1 billion increase is needed. So this, Representative Albright, would be a substantial step towards that. And we did hear those bills in the couple weeks before budget targets, I'd say sort of in early March. We heard a bill for a $830 million proposal for early learning scholarships, substantial proposal for a child care assistance program, and others as well, and Head Start. And so it's really, as I say, really getting to above $1 billion when you're talking about the lowest income young kids and their families.
Representative Albright.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'll have some closing comments.
Okay, thanks, Representative Albright. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this question is to Chair Moran. And my question is, as I see there's an increase to the judiciary budget of $2.3 million, I'm just wondering what that is going toward.
Chair Moran.
Let's see here. Let's see if I can possibly.
Chair Moran, would you also like me? I know we do have the Chair of Judiciary here. I know we normally don't question members, but if that's helpful, I don't know if she would be willing.
Yep, trying to read my notes, but why don't we defer to Chair Becker-Finn?
Right. Chair Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Scott, for the question. So in the bill, we had the current number that we have for the 3% raises for court staff, we recently learned is not actually enough to do an across-the-board 3% raise. And then this would also allow there to be enough funds to do some raises for the judicial officers as well. So essentially, it's also posted in the, I believe it's the A3 amendment that we will have up in committee tomorrow that corresponds with this number.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I know that a full 3% raise for the judges was going to be around $1.23 million. And so that leaves another million. And what you're telling me is that all goes towards making sure that there's enough money there to give the 3% raise to the staff. So it's 3 and 3 for both staff and judicial or judges. And thank you, Madam Chair.
We'll do Chair Becker-Finn, and then if there's further questions, you can speak with chairs offline too about specifics of bills. But we'll do one more back to Chair Becker-Finn there.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so it'll be like in similar years so typically because judicial officers are also judicial staff, it's the same pot of money. So it'll just be increasing that one pot of money, but then allowing it to be used for the judicial pay as well. So everybody who works for the courts would be eligible for that raise. That still would just be in the second year for the judges as they had requested. It wouldn't be in both years.
Thank you.
Representative Scott. Any further questions before we go to Representative Albright? I know you had closing comments, but any further questions to the A6? Okay, seeing none, Representative Albright, you can have the last word before we go to Chair Moran.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I think it's troubling, not from the provisions per se in the bill itself, but for the message that it sends. You know, at a time when our state's economy is struggling to recover from the events of the last 13 or 14 months, it should be concerning. And candidly, I think sends a bit of a confusing message to those that have been affected the most dramatically by increasing our state's largesse by 9%. And and to rub salt in the wound, if you will, by suggesting that we need to raise taxes by another $1 billion on the very people that have been affected the most. And those are those in Minnesota that own and operate small businesses who are struggling to stay afloat, as well as keep those people that rely upon those very employers for their income and for their way of life. I really wish that the DFL would get over this obsession that more tax dollars is the remedy for anything that ails this state. Members, this is a provision and an amendment that you have the votes to pass, but I would urge members on the GOP to vote no, and let's get down to basics in a bipartisan way on a solution that can work to benefit everyone, particularly those that have been hit the hardest with regard to the provisions enacted into law by executive fiat or otherwise over the last 14 months. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know I said Representative Albright was going to have last word and we'll go to Chair Rand, but I do see Chair Becker Finn does have her hand up. So we will, if you have something there.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and sorry to jump in there, but I just want to acknowledge that the people most impacted are the families who have lost family members during this time. I know my family has lost a family member, a 36-year-old military officer lost to COVID, and I just think it's important that we keep that in perspective as we're talking about everything this year. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And seeing no further discussion, no hands up here for the A6. I will turn it back to Chair Moran for closing words before we vote.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say to Representative O'Neill, you know, bringing this amendment forward, you know, may seem hard to understand or maybe silly to you, but just for clarity, you know, I just want to state that we can replace the general fund dollars with the federal money as a contingency, but we can't go to the next step of reallocating the original general fund's dollars. You know, that's just the difference in what we can and cannot do. And we can't appropriate specific dollars out of the ARP. We really want to make sure that we are just utilizing the dollars that we have in front of us, until we can get some guidance from the federal government and just come forward with the strongest language possible in order to do that. So this is a good amendment. It is a good budget resolution, and I do hope to get the support of the members to move this forward so that we can really do the work that the Democratic majority is planning to do to really help those who've been truly impacted by the pandemic. That is what this is going to do for the working family, for those small businesses, you know, for those hotels and restaurants. That's the work we want to do, not just for, you know, for the 22-23 session, but we want to do this long term. We owe that to the citizens, to the residents of Minnesota. So that is what this bill is, this is what this budget is about, is to really invest in people's and business lives. So with that, I will stop. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Representative Moran, would you care to renew your motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. So I'd like to renew my motion to adopt the A6 amendment to the 2021 House Budget Resolution titled BuzzRets 01.
Great. And we have the motion in front of us. Representative Hertaus, I do see you have your hand up, only if it's a clarifying question needed and necessary to vote. I did already do several last calls for questions. Is it a clarifying question?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess my question was inspired by some of the closing comments that Chair Moran had made. And Chair Moran, I guess my question to you, as we're in this meeting, I have the American Rescue Plan up on my screen on a side-by-side, and I'm looking at $8 billion being allocated to Minnesota. You made the comment that, you know, we can't get into those funds, but nonetheless, those funds are available for this state to spend. And so I'm concerned that we're raising taxes to raise revenue to increase spending on things that are included in this American Rescue Plan. And I just don't think we're doing an adequate job of making sure that this legislature and the appropriations that are supposed to originate from the House of Representatives that we are doing. And we have ample time before May 17th to get the details on this and make further amendments. But this seems to be a travesty to be talking about raising taxes.
Representative Kurtas, will you just ask your clarifying question?
Well, why are we letting the governor make the decisions on how this money is going to be spent rather than the House of Representatives?
Well, I will let Chair Moran have the last word before we move to the vote on the motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hurtas, you know, it is my desire for the legislature to spend the federal dollars. You know, this has been a tough year for families across the state of Minnesota. It has been tough for business. And we want to make sure that we are doing our best here to support those businesses and families across the state of Minnesota. But again, because we do not have any guidance around those dollars, it would just be inappropriate to be spending money that may, you know, be in conflict with those guidance and maybe against the law for that fact. And so there may be opportunities, you know, once we get that guidance to, you know, to be able to utilize those federal dollars. And that's the hope that we are able to do that. But right now we have making the decision to not use money that we do not have the guidance around to spend. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Moran. And with that, Chair Moran renews her motion to adopt the A6 amendment to the 2021 House Budget Resolution titled BuzzRes01. And with that, the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Yes.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo, excused. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan, excused. Representative Hurtas?
Hurtas, no.
Hurtas, no. Representative Hornstein, excused. Representative Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, no.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Representative Nash?
Nash, no.
Nash, no. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
No.
Petersburg, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. 16.
Ms. Bergman, will you recall Representative Hassan? I believe I just saw her enter the room.
Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. So that's 17 ayes and 10 nays.
There being 17 ayes and 10 nays, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So that concludes our business for the evening, but I do see Representative Miller, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be very brief. I feel compelled to comment real quick. there's been a very concerning trend for me in the House in general this year. I've seen it in committees, I've seen it on the floor, and now I unfortunately see it here in Ways and Means. And it's a stunting of conversation. I'm told by leadership that the committees are where things are going to be talked about, and then I'm told in committees that we're restricted on time because of television, and so we can't talk there, we can't talk on the House floor. And I know there needs to be a stable order of business, but we're all respectful. Everyone certainly on this committee has been here before. We've been here quite some time. We can have those conversations. I look at my clock and we're 35 minutes into a committee, and I know it's supper time and people probably want to go. But when someone raises a point that elicits a conversation, something that someone wants to say or ask a question about, following that, to say, well, we're already going to be moving on to a vote, so there's no more discussion on this bill, is disrespectful to the process and disrespectful to the institution in which we all serve. We're talking about very serious things here. We're talking about things that are monumental in the history of Minnesota with this budget, and we're being told this isn't the time to talk about it. And then I know full well that when we get to our individual omnibus bills on the floor, we're going to say, well, this isn't the time to talk about it. The time to talk about it was in committee back then. I'm really disappointed. I remember I've been here since 2015, and I disagreed with it, but there was a mute button put up in the speaker's rostrum, and we all had plenty of talk about that, both serious and ridicule and all this sort of stuff, and that was removed when this majority came in, which I thought was a good thing. Frankly, majority, you are finding new ways to mute. It's just not with a button. And I'm really disturbed by it. We can do better than this. This is the time. If Ways and Means is not the place that we can talk about these things, then I'm not exactly sure what point in time that is. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Miller. And I do believe that we did ask for discussion several times and even was gracious enough after the bill author spoke to go back and take comment today. So I do feel like we gave ample time and asked for comments as much as we could, and we weren't in a rush with time. So I did call on everybody even after, which normally does not happen after a bill author has spoke. And I'll even give Representative Liebling an opportunity to talk before I turn it over to Chair Moran for closing words as well.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, I just needed to respond to that because I did think that, you know, as long as I've been in the legislature, which is longer than Representative Miller, there has always got to be an end to a committee hearing. There's always been a process where, you know, we have a time for people to be recognized, to speak, and then the author speaks. And, you know, in this committee, we have the lead on the Republican speak, and then the author speaks. And then, you know, when somebody then raises their hand after that, I mean, you know, there is just a process. And I, you know, I appreciate that everyone wants their say. And maybe this is a little difficult in this environment. I know sometimes people have trouble getting their hand up or whatever. But what really I find really, you know, sometimes I hear the minority talking about how you don't get a chance to talk after you've spent hours on the House floor talking, literally hours, and then accusing the majority of not letting you talk. I don't know. You know, I guess it's just always the job of the minority to, you know, try to find things to complain about, always the job of the majority to get the work done and govern. And when the, you know, I've been on both sides several times, and I guess the world just continues even in this virtual environment. But I just wanted to say, I thought that Vice Chair Olson was being very fair, and I saw absolutely nothing wrong with the way she conducted the committee today.
Thank you. And with that, I will turn it over to Chair Moran for any announcements before we adjourn.
Yes, well, thank you, Madam Chair. Members, next week we will be a big one for Ways and Means. And I know we will continue to create spaces for people to ask questions and make comments. But we will likely be meeting every day to process the budget bills coming out of committee. Membership plan on blocking off your calendars, block off your calendars from 9 to 12 for each day next week. and we may have one or two afternoon sessions as well. Staff will provide more details on the schedule and the build order soon. That's great. It for me, Madam Chair. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair Moran, and thank you, members. And with that, we are adjourned.